Happy fucking happy hour. It is radio legend, genius motherfucker, Phil Hendry is in the house. That's what his whole title is, radio legend, genius motherfucker.
PhD.
Hi, Phil Hendry.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Okay.
Thanks for having me to your magnificent home. This is like walking into Bruce Wayne's mansion or something. The gates and the dogs and everything.
It's
beautiful.
Fantastic.
Love it.
Welcome to my underground lair.
Yeah.
Phil, they missed the really sweet little moment right before the broadcast when you just spit your gum into my hand.
Yeah.
You were like, I don't. And I was like, give it to mommy. It's okay.
I don't want to do a juicy fruit.
You know, so
I was like, okay, give that. He just went blah in my hand. And that was. And this is what radio legends do for each other.
It's the first time someone's done that, I'm sure. Me too, you know. Friends always go then.
But you were saying we do a lot of disgusting things in the name of love. Like you said your girlfriend was crying.
Yeah, she's crying after a funeral and had this rag of sneeze and snot in it. And she didn't know where to put it, so I just grabbed it and put it in my jacket.
Right, right.
And she said, that's such a dad thing to do, you know. And dads and moms do that.
Yeah. My dad was a, you know, like 50s guy. He always had the handkerchief. Yep. And when you cried, he would like... And then you give it back to him, and you're like,
"The guys with the handkerchiefs,
disgusting,
wiping themselves off with it, and just, well, I can tell you,
got my daughter's snot on here. Let me just get some more." Phil Hendry,
hey man,
what the fuck?
This is a cool book here. This is Sexy Liberal of Me, I Sing.
Oh, I thank you for that. Thank you for
this
that,
is a
Phil.
Cool thing. So, I gotta take this home and study it. And there's a lot here.
All right.
Unfortunately, I'm looking at my hand, not the book.
Of all the times when I thought that there is going to be makeup sex at the after party.
Makeup sex.
Let me tell you the Steph and Phil Hendry story.
Okay.
Well, and that's the end of that story. Now,
all right, because this is so fantastic, because I see that you were on Mark Maron's show. So Mark Maron was just in here. Because is it us? Okay, radio geeks, do we all talk shit about each other at some other point? Then we have to have, you know, makeup sex at some point.
I don't talk shit about anybody that I really like, and everybody else I don't talk about. You know, you and Randy and Howard.
Oh my God.
Bubba. And
I want to have a three-way with you and Randy Rhodes. She's your beloved, my beloved.
Yeah, she's the best. She's great. And she really, I love Randy because she's, you know, somebody who came, I worked with her at WIOD.
I know.
She kind of got marginalized over there.
I know.
And then.
A radio genius like you.
By me, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. But that was a dysfunctional place, but she went up the road to WJNO, and the next thing I know, she's who she really should have been all along, which is just a great mind in terms of social commentary and stuff.
I think one of the best there ever was or will
and
be.
You.
And you. So wait, we have
and
to.
Him,
are,
and
you
you
not remember?
Him,
all right, so hang on. Come on, let's just talk our shit a little bit.
Yes.
So you. So I had been at KFI, and I left to go for my disastrous late night TV show. And so then you went into my slot on KFI, and then I went up against you on KBC. And you used to talk a lot of shit about me, Hendry. You used to talk some shit about me from
I did?
Yes. But then I ran into you at a radio conference.
In New York?
Yeah. And
I
think we almost fucked.
Well,
I remember it being I remember it being we never met. And so when we met...
Yeah, we met and then we went and drank and
yes, you went behind because we couldn't find a bartender and I was like, Hendry,
and I
give
went
me
behind
a fucking
the bar.
Drink.
Yeah.
Right.
That was that Radio and Records thing and the last time not Radio and Records, it was Mike Harrison's Talkers thing, I think.
Right.
The last time I went to one of those was out at the Steve Allen Theater in East Hollywood.
Right.
And it was very sparsely attended with a lot of styrofoam cups and stuff. It was sort of reflective of the industry, you know.
Last time I was at that theater, I was doing a roast for Larry King, and I swear to fucking God, someone died during the luncheon. Nobody even, just because that's how old the people were that were there.
And
somebody
didn't know they
died,
were dead?
And everybody was like, don't look over there, and there was, paramedics coming in, and everybody was like, just keep talking. Just say some nice shit about Larry.
Just prop him back up in the seat. And
I was like, I think someone just died at that back table.
Oh, my God. It was a roast.
No, it was a tribute to Larry, and
okay.
I was there giving a tribute to Larry, and I was trying to ignore that someone
someone had died,
expired. So, all right, so there's so many intersections within radio geeks like us, right?
Yeah.
So that's all I remember is we fell in love and I think I'm not certain. I think you were hitting on me, and I wasn't out yet.
Was,
and I think you asked if I was gay, and I think I probably lied to you.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I will make
that.
It up to you tonight
true.
Because I'm single and I think we can get this done. I think
you're
we
not
can get,
gay anymore.
I think we can get this done.
Not today.
Well, I think you can fuck it out of me, Phil Hendry.
I don't know. I'm embarrassed about that now, but at the time I thought, Hey, I'm in New York, you know. This is a whole new life for me. Hey, look at this. Look at her.
Look how many voices he could do in bed with me. Look at him. He's fucking genius. Now,
I wouldn't do that, but if it worked, it worked.
Now, wait. Well, listen.
So,
the 90s young. Phil Hendry, because you were married to Maria. That's no more. But you have a girlfriend.
I got my girlfriend, Lauren, and right now she's, what is she doing? Oh, she's probably got the cat at the hospital because we just spent $2,000 to have it treated for cancer.
Oh, shit.
And yeah, that's the extent of my progeny, a cat.
Really? Just when I'm coming on to you, you tell me a pussy cancer story?
Yeah, exactly.
And now
right.
I'm supposed to get it up later?
Yeah.
Hendry,
that's
your shot.
It. And I think, and Lauren is also probably going to help us with our business. You know, our family business, digital.
Yeah. No, wait, because you've always been way out ahead of your time. So you got to talk about what you're doing. Because for those of you youngins, mm-hmm. if you don't know Phil Hendry, then you're fucking assholes, number one. But number two, so you basically, can I just say, because you're a very successful actor, voiceover guy, all that stuff. But radio, you are a legend because you took the form of talk radio that you've done all your life. And we've all done music radio all the way up to radio. And you just turned it on its fucking ear. So you play all these characters.
Right.
And then you interview those characters. And they always, you know what? I thought this is perfect timing to have you on. This is the fucking Trump campaign. Yeah. This is the fucking Trump campaign.
I know.
You can't write this shit. It's like you're going, it's got to be Hendry. It's Hendry.
Donald Trump is
fucking Hendry.
I wish I did impressions, which I don't, you know. By the way, I saw this thing. Oliver Stone is all about his movie Snowden. I'm going, what are you doing a movie called Snowden? Do Trump, man.
Yeah,
what are you doing Snowden?
Yeah.
Trump's
No, I'm like,
the movie,
Hendry
Jack.
Wrote this with Andy Kaufman. Something's fucking going to this is going to be fantastic.
It's pretty bizarre.
The October surprise. But that's your characters. They would say this outlandish shit. Like, you can't write the stuff that Trump says. And then, but the greatest thing is then the callers would think it's real. And I could never understand how many callers were so fucking stupid, but now I do because
now
Donald Trump might be president.
Now we know exactly.
I'm like, don't you get that it's him? And I'm like, no, there was always an endless supply of rubes for Bill Hendry.
Because if it was passionate enough, if the topic, for instance, I was just reading one of our shows we did was, I have a character named Steve Bozell, and I'm going to lose a bet. And lost the bet? Yeah. I bet a friend of mine at work that they would not find Elizabeth Smart alive. And they did, and I'm glad they did, but I'm out $50, you know. So
that sucks.
And that's just weird enough. It's just believable enough that some ass would make a bet like that. Uh-huh. And now you're upset with him because he wishes, would you care that you lost $50? And this little girl was found alive. Isn't that good? It is, but it isn't. See, it is, but it isn't, you know.
And the funny thing is, I'm not a fan usually of like prank humor and those kind of shows, but Hendry just people would lose their shit, the callers. Yeah. They're like, I don't understand how you can say that.
But you couldn't do my show now. If I started that show today, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Because of all the prank stuff that's happening now, man.
Right.
The whole culture is prank. But back then in 96, we started doing the show in like 1990.
And now the scene from The Revenant.
Look at this.
Max is about to
you're the
eat
most beautiful
a radio
thing
legend.
I've ever seen in my life. He is the most gorgeous, gorgeous guy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Max, can I saddle you up, brother? Let's just get out of here, man.
Let's go.
Let's
ski down.
Head west, but we can't get any further west. We'll head east.
So wait, because I wasn't here for this, but in the very beginning, the first character was an Iraqi?
Yeah. That was in Ventura.
War was happening.
That was in Ventura in 1990.
Okay, because you got fired by KFI. We've all been fired by the best radio station.
You got fired twice.
No, I left KFI. I got fired by KBC.
That's a badge of honor.
There you go.
But yeah, I did that in Ventura in 1990, and that's where it started. Then I went off to Atlanta and then Minneapolis and then came to LA in 96.
You know what you remind me of, in your brilliance and otherwise, is Kinison. That he was doing a normal act for a while, and he was like, fuck this, and then he went...
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Because you just are like, this game's fucking stupid. I'm going to turn it on its ear. And, right?
Everybody, I think, eventually,
the Gulf War was happening.
Stay with it, yeah.
You played the Iraqi Raj Vahin, and you were vociferously defending Saddam Hussein.
Yep.
So thinking he was a real person, listeners went ballistic, the phones lit up, and that's where this was...
That's where it all started.
Right.
And I didn't believe it at the time, but my producer's like, there's people calling for the Iraqi. Do you want to take the... I said, sure, put them through. Yes, can I help you? You know, and... I was driving through your burg. I don't know what you people think you're trying to pull here, but... A genre was born or whatever, and so we just kept doing it. And but nowadays, everybody's pranking everybody, and everybody's got a YouTube channel that's pranking somebody, and everyone's...
Right.
You know, so I think that has kind of run its course.
Right.
Not that pranking isn't still funny, but it would be very difficult, I think, to do our show from the gate now.
Right.
As opposed to back then.
Right.
What I do now is just a whole bunch of characters. I don't take phone calls.
Henry proved this verse that there's an endless pool of fucking rubes. Yeah. We'll elect Donald Trump one day. And then that just, okay, first of all, I'm a radio nerd.
But there's
and
not
I
that
still
many.
Don't know how you do the, what, did you do a different button when it was you?
No,
you?
It was just the phone. I had the phone and I would, and I had the fader or the mic pot and I would just pull it down as I used the phone and then push the fader back up. Actually, it
so was that would be you around. Interviewing the guy. You'd be like, oh, hi. And then,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
like,
you're on the phone.
Let's say the phone's here and here's my mic pot and here's the mic. And I'd be like, so what do you think, Bob? Well, I'll tell you. And you can see my hand simultaneously going down. Excuse me for the way it sounds on radio, hand going down, and then my head going up.
Phil Henry is whacking off right now as he tells his story.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Henry, at this, and then I go back and forth between. Yeah. And a lot of it is done by way of the ambience. You can push the phone away further from you. It sounds like a different person.
Right.
You have it closer. And,
right.
And we have these loops that are like cell phone loops and, you know, beds of
right.
trucks driving by and stuff. I've got one that I love. It's a plane dropping water, like a fighting
right.
a fire.
Right.
We've turned that into a whole bit where, okay, here it comes again. Yeah, yeah. They just BA'd me again. I got LA Fire BA'ing me. They're hanging their ass out the window of this thing, and it flies by again. And that, my daughter's out here, and they just hung their bare ass out again. Or Margaret is a character. She's a female. And I love, here comes LA Fire. Oh, God. You know, as they dump their water.
Wait, who is this? Margaret, right?
Margaret, yes. And she is.
What's her name? What's the last name?
Her name is Margaret Gray.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing about this character. I had a guy from a cross-dressing magazine interview me, and I said, why? He said, because we all want people to think we're women, and we can't pull it off. We're ugly. You actually have them believing you're a woman, you know? And so we admire, you know, I'm an icon in the cross-dressing world for
right,
that
yes.
for that very achievement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
see, they stole Transparent from you, too. Jesus Christ. Henry, you should have a piece of everything. What the fuck? it's hilarious how, like, us old radio geeks, like, so you did the character David G. Hall, who was your boss and was my boss.
And your boss, yeah.
And he was the nicest guy in the world
he
when I worked with him.
Guy.
But your character was a total fucking asshole. It was like pig vomit. It was like, you know.
Yeah, we have to make him an asshole.
Yeah, he was calling you complaining, right?
Yeah. Hey, Fanny, what are you doing, Phil? I told you to just make an apology. Okay, do it better. You know, do the apology better. David, by the way, the real David G. Hall said to me, don't you ever change that character and don't ever stop doing
don't
that.
Don't ever
character.
Make him any
yeah.
nicer.
Yeah, I want you to get... So
he was one of the best bosses I ever had.
He's a great guy.
He actually was. That was funny about it. If you knew radio, because he was so not pig vomit.
Right.
He would just go let you do your.
He
thing.
Loved. He loved talent. You know. I say loved as if he's dead. David, you're,
no, he's
you're,
here.
You're with us
David,
still.
You're
man.
Alive. Yeah. David, clear.
Where are you, David?
Clear.
Yeah.
Clear. Oh, David's alive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was a great guy and encouraged me a lot. And as I'm sure he did you. And and he knew a lot about formatics and methodology and bullcrap like that. So
yeah. Yeah. What, so, okay, you have to bring me up to date, because we did the same shit, you and me and Randy and all of us, we did music radio, you went right all over the country, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. I just love in your thing, it says he realized he hated what he was doing.
I hated being
and
a
then you became. That's how I started, weekend host at KFI.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, ah, fuck this, I'm just going to, right?
Do whatever I'm going to do.
Yeah,
is
fuck it.
Yeah, I just wanted to be happy more than anything else, you know, and I knew. Well, I must have some talent for this because I've been doing it for a long time. And I love it, you know, so I did. But I think when I left, I should have stayed out and not gotten back in because I did do like 6 more years with TRN.
Talk Radio Network.
Yes,
right. Tell us. Yeah, because I don't. I mean,
it's a horrible
company. Because listen, we can both talk about the talk radio. Fucking dead man.
Yeah.
This is like we're all in our fucking basement doing what I mean.
We are. We're living. Doing our shows out of our basements now.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah. I was saying, I was at
the way it started.
Clear Channel. They're like, Merry Christmas, get the fuck out. We're putting right wing talk in again. I'm just like, oh,
that really
Jesus.
Worked for him, didn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you're right. We all have to make a living doing, like, we do this podcast, we do, you know, SiriusXM, we do whatever. But
the best thing about what's
tell
happening.
Tell me what you're doing now.
Well,
and
the
how
best
you
thing that's happening about right now is because everybody can do this. We can find. Our audience, talk to our audience.
Talent finds a way.
Yeah, well, that's what Rush Limbaugh told me as he was, you know, getting into the limousine. And I said, thanks a lot, Mr. Limbaugh.
Dropping OxyContin out of his pockets.
I put my Usher hat back on. But no, it will. But the thing of it is we have the ability today. If this was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, suppose, you know, what did Gene Shepard do? He went to Hollywood and sold a show called... the Wonder Years.
Right.
And got ripped off.
Right.
You know, so that's what happens to guys like that. But today we're lucky we can do this.
Right.
And my administrator, Joe, is just out of college and he's got his own business where he administers websites. So it's a, it's
that's
a
what I did. I got some stem cells.
See, all these guys,
some millennials,
entrepreneurial world we live in. And so I just said, well, look, I'm just going to go digital. I don't want to deal with these people anymore. I don't want to deal with advertisers. I don't want to deal with syndicators.
Because you never fit a niche. You're so fucking brilliant that it's like, you know, the first time they tried to syndicate me, same thing happened. They were like, she's hilarious. She has great ratings in L.A. And they're like, but she's liberal. I got like 14 stations.
That's
canceled.
Not going to work.
Yeah.
I don't know, Stephanie, other than to say that now we've seemed to found a place where we belong. You know, people, you know. Subscriptions are where it's
in our basement with a bunch of bodies under in our crawl space.
Well, look at Netflix is made out of money, and they're a subscription service on television. So I think that people are willing to pay for content if it's, you know, if it's something they want. So fortunately, and then I do side gigs.
So no, wait, tell us so we
it's
know
like
how
I'm
to.
A handyman
so Phil,
or
so
something,
Phil
you know.
Henry.
Hi,
he's
you
a voice.
You need a cartoon voice? Sure, you know, go door to door.
So wait, tell us how to get it. So philhenry.com.
Yeah, philhenry.com.
How often is it? How long
every day,
is it?
What do we every do? Day we do a podcast. It's, our podcast is free for a month, and then it goes beyond a paywall, and you can get a year subscription or a month subscription. And we have 20,000 hours of our archive from our Clear Channel days.
Yeah.
So all of those great shows that that I love doing, and you've been so nice to talk about, Raj Finney and all those guys.
What, so what's the show like now?
Because
Now
it's just about 40, 50 minutes a day of me talking to all of these different people, these characters I make up, in an environment where it's like a satire
it's
of a
It's like King
show.
Of Comedy, but you're still marginally sane.
I don't know what King of Comedy is.
King of Comedy, the movie where he's the crazy guy's talking to the cardboard cutouts in his basement.
Yeah, except I'm answering back.
Okay,
and in that one,
they
weren't answering
back. That's
different. So, I'm doing all that, and people can listen to that, and we also give them an hour of the classic show on top of it, and... it is, you know, it in a nutshell. We also do a Friday night chat. You know, I go online. There's a video cast that we do, which is a high definition video cast. And we do a chat with our subscribers on Friday night. And during the week, we do odd live shows like that.
I told you I thought of you again. Not that you've ever left my mind since that night at the bar at the Talkers Convention in New York.
I was sneaking around the back.
I heard you on our good mutual friend Rick Overton's podcast. And I was like, that was the funniest fucking hour because it was just man giggles back and forth. You were just making each other man giggle. And I was like, I want to shove both of them up my fucking ass. They're so cute. They're like so funny. And they're both like love each other so much. And you're both like,
he's a sweet man. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a sweet, sweet guy, Rick. It's fun to watch everybody have their place to go and to do and to say and to be. Everybody's like independent now. Everyone owns their own content and nobody's having to give it over to these monolithic.
Right, Randy Rose is doing it now, too.
Yeah, Randy's doing it, and I think it's great.
Because you're right, we've all been fucked with the radio business just like with an inch of our life.
Yeah, and now, like, for instance, my show is on Podcast One. That's the platform, as they call it, you know. And Norm Pattis is a great guy. He's a former radio guy that understood, you know, that talent was kind of what, you know.
All the time they said to us shit like content is king, we're like, oh, fuck yourself. And they were like, you know what, you're right.
You're right, content is king,
right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Radio is whatever it is. I don't do it anymore. But you're still on Sirius.
I'm still marginally in radio. I'm on some terrestrial stations. I am in my basement, Phil, but I'm on some terrestrial stations.
So
I'm on
do you have to go into another studio today to do your radio show? Or do you
This is it. I mean, but you know, you're right. Like, I'm making as much or more on selling the podcast of the radio show.
That you ever made
free,
in radio? Yeah.
Then you make, I mean, in radio sales with terrestrial. So, you know, you piece it all together, and then the happy hour is a separate thing. With geniuses like you. But wait, so tell us some more about, because
your
fanboys are fucking, okay, let's talk about that. But the fanboys are geeking out because you've done King of the Hill, Futurama. You've done,
Futurama and King of the Hill. F is for Family. We just started doing that.
Yeah.
That's two seasons worth of that now. And I just did a little scene in a movie with Whitney Cummings. And I was in a scene with Marlo Thomas, which was kind of cool because she was that girl, remember?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, I played her husband for
Donald.
A few lines, yeah. And that was kind of a thrill for me, just to have her look at me and go, this is the man you'll be in the scene. It's nice to see you. And
probably she still gives you a boner, right from that girl, from the hair flip.
I have to be honest, yes.
Yes, all right.
And,
I knew that.
And so... just enough stuff to kind of keep things moving forward. But I am waiting for that next big push that gets me into a pad like this again, you know. And
This is, I always say, this is the house that a lot of the radio and a lot of canceled television bought.
You know, this looks like a house where, like, old movie stars lived in this,
I know.
Too. You know,
like, I am Norma like a Desmond. 70s house. There's a dead screenwriter in the pool.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, like, this, like, Warren Beatty or somebody was like, somebody's put their head through a wall here or something. Yeah.
No, know? I am ready for my close up. No one else is ready to give it to me. But, what was I going to say?
That's what I'm doing.
So you said stand up. That's fucking awesome.
Once a month we do Phil Henry and Friends. That's a whole new thing for me, and it makes me just absolutely nervous, like my gut churningly nervous, you know. But so far I've been doing like one Friday night every month at the Hollywood Improv Lab.
Okay.
And then I'm going to be at the Ventura Comedy Club on the 24th. And I realized I don't really tell jokes.
You're not used to in front of... Yeah. You're like me in a padded room with no one listening.
Well, I don't mind being in front of people, but I'm sure what I'm supposed to do, you know? In other words... And somebody said, well, there are people that say funny things, and there are people that say things funny. And they said, Phil, we think you're the latter. You say things funny, maybe. And so I thought, okay, so that sort of means characters. So I get up, and I just do.
Right.
I've got a character named Pete Bone, who's a talk show host, you know? And just like all those guys, Pete Bone... And this is Pete Bone. You go ahead and laugh if you want, miss, but this is serious. We're losing our country. Isn't that right, Charlie? Well, you know, Pete, and Charlie, by the way, is my sidekick. He's an alcoholic. Now, I know you didn't want me to, Jesus Christ, Pete. Well, like, he's an alcoholic. Come on, admit it. Now, with drunks like this, you know, it's just... So, I do characters on stage like that and hope that people don't go, all right, stop, you know, and want me to tell jokes because I can't.
Right.
I don't know jokes.
Yeah. No, you've never been jokes. You've been a character guy. Wait, yeah. So where did the characters come from? I have to say, like, what?
The first because, one. I mean, you're, I know the
oh
first
God,
one.
Oh, my God.
I
love
ever
your
did.
Whole Wikipedia. You're such a little fucking nerd.
Just a moron.
In 1958, when Henry was five, his family took a road trip to visit relatives in Toronto. They listened to the radio the whole way. Ooh. He knew he wanted to work in radio one day.
That was it, man. But I the first character I ever did was an impression of James Mason. In 55 Days at Peking, we came back from this movie. Maybe I was seven, and I started to do James Mason like this. You know?
That
and
killed at kids' birthday parties, right?
Well, I don't know. I think my father and mother might enjoy it, but I think I was by myself. There wasn't in front of anybody. I was in my
that's
bedroom.
That's really sad.
Yeah, doing James Mason by myself at the age of seven. In other words, you would have put... It was
There's
like Michael
nothing
Myers.
Else you could fucking do with your life than radio. You're so sad.
I think if anybody would have walked in at that time, it would have just like a stark white face, you
You're
know,
like
with a hockey mask on, you know.
You're
7 years of age.
And Mr. Captain. James, this is not going to end well.
Yeah, gay surrounding. So, and then after that, it was just off to the races, so to speak.
Yes.
I actually bought a tape recorder for $14 when I was like 14 or 13.
I saw that. You're just like me. We're such fucking old radio geeks. I had the cassette.
Real?
You made your first demo tape on right on a thing. Yeah. You're like, oh, my God. I did, like, you know, and now here's Katharine Hepburn in the traffic chapter. Ah, it's going to be a bumpy ride. And now here's
how old were you?
Linda Blair with the weather. It's hot as hell today. I'm like, oh, my God. I hope these tapes do not exist. But, like, on my cassette, this is going to be fucking brilliant, man.
How old were you? Were you actually professionally doing a thing, or were you just a kid?
By accident, just when I was out of college. Yeah. I thought I was going to be Carol Burnett, and then all my dreams died, as they do.
You are Carol Burnett.
It was an accident. I was just out of college and thought I was going to be Carol Burnett. My dad died. I was back in Buffalo, and my friend had a show. She's like, oh, come do some. So, no, I did, like, the wacky voices on the radio.
You were were you the sidekick chick, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. Mm, yeah. No. Sister Sleaze on the Brother Weeze Morning Circus.
Were you really?
Mm, that was my first real job. After.
I heard either a dog bark or... It was, you know, Mercedes McCambridge coming back. I remember that when women were, and you were one of the first to, like, host your own show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, most chicks were, like, side chicks, what is the word I was looking for?
Sidekick. Oh, no, I did my first, like, I was the, I'll never forget, they
Weather
said to
chick.
My male co-host in Chicago, she's the Johnny Carson, you're the Ed McMahon. I was like, oh, this is not going to go well for me. And once again, it did not. That guy did not like me.
You use that 360 better than anybody since Neil Rogers, I'll tell you.
Thank
that.
You very much.
That's
Thank
good,
you. That's a good compliment.
That's a good, it is. I'm serious.
Randy
you guys,
would
you
say,
got timing.
That's nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I, wait. You were born in Arcadia? Where the fuck is that? Is there an actual...
Santa Anita Racetrack out there past Pasadena? Well, I was born in Pasadena and raised in
Arcadia. No one's from California. You're from California?
Aren't you?
No, I'm from Buffalo, New York.
Oh, why did I think you're from California?
Because I've lived out here for a while.
Okay. So, yeah, there's a few of us, and I was raised raised up here. I know this place.
Wait. Oh, my God. Just like me, upper middle class Catholic family, altar boy.
Yep.
Were you attractive enough to get raped by...
No, unfortunately. That was... Boy, did I miss out, you know. No, that didn't happen to me.
See, I have a lot of Catholic boy friends that are like, what's wrong with me? Why didn't they want it?
I was an altar boy, and people would... After all that happened, people were like, oh, my God. Are you okay?
What happened? Were you all right?
No, you're like, tell me. This boring thing I had to do every Sunday.
The best part of being...
Why didn't he touch me?
The best part of being an altar boy for me was Monsignor O'Keefe. This guy was an Irish... heavyweight in the LA diocese, and he would walk, and he had the Irish thing, you know. Now, I swear to God, you know, as an altar boy, you give him the wine and the water, and the congregation can't see this, and back in the day, they had their back to them, but Monsignor O'Keefe would take a little bit of the water, and then he'd just tell you to just keep on coming with that wine, man. And you dump that whole thing in there, then he'd go back, and it's called
here's with the water, here's with the wine.
That's exactly what this is. Come on, let's go. And then that cat would go to the center of the altar there, and guzzle that thing, man. Just
in front of everybody.
In front of everyone. And I swear to God, he would put the thing down and go, like that, yeah.
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 Motherfucker. Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, was that on microphone?
Damn, that's good Christian brothers right there.
Yeah, I remember our Catholic priest that used to come to our house. It was always fucking plastered.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Did your pops ever give on Christmas? Did he give out the bottles of booze to the priests who would come around? You know,
The
priest
always
came on Christmas. Well, hello, Herb. My dad's name is Herb. Herb, the Hendry family. How are you, Herb? Good, Father. Here you go. Yeah, okay.
All right.
I guess we should stay for a minute. they always came for the liquor, and it was wonderful. And it was in a home where my dad was having multiple affairs with women in the parish. So,
let me see.
Who are you with last week?
Oh, dear. Okay. No, hang on. We've gotten to this part of the podcast about Phil Henry's childhood. Oh, Phil. I understand why you had to have imaginary friends.
That reminds me of the Young Rascals. Is it the Young Rascals or the Little Rascals?
Yeah, the Little Rascals.
The Young Rascals were a band.
I have this whole story.
So Arcadia. And
your
then,
parents divorced.
And then the Asian American community kind of took over Arcadia, and we got marginalized. And I'm kidding. I moved, and then...
Today, Phil today, Louise Arcadia, Hendry.
Yeah, today Arcadia is primarily Asian Pacific people, and all of my people have been put on the boat and sent back to Ireland that I hung
as
on.
As they should.
I'm hanging on by my fingernails. Should. Thank God for Trump. Now, anyway, you know I'm kidding. Or am I? I've been thinking more about that.
Who can say?
Mr. Trump will save us. He'll save our jobs and everything. You'll see. You'll know.
Okay. When Hendry was 12 years old, listening to radio was his escape.
From the priest.
When he was 13 years old, Hendry's parents divorced.
Yes.
Hendry's family home was repossessed, forcing them to move into a small rented apartment where he slept on the couch during his high school years. What the fuck?
I know. Hendry? Is that the biggest load of horse shit?
And how many goddamn mattress endorsements have you had?
One. Just one.
And you fucking held down to that motherfucker.
I don't know any better.
I slept on the couch!
Well, the mattress company I selected was a bad one because I don't know any better. So, you know.
You're like, I don't know. Yeah. I slept on a fucking couch.
Yeah. And you think like, hi, I'm Phil Hendry. When I was in high school, I was hungry, so I shoplifted food. That's right. But you don't have to. I thought about that one day. I came to the realization 10 years ago that I did shoplift food in my high school years because I was hungry.
Right.
I thought it was because I just wanted to get the art of shoplifting down and be a young Roger Dodger. I didn't have any food, you know, so, I got really good at it. So I started teaching my friends how to do it. All of them got arrested except me. That's the truth.
Well, those stupid fuckers had it coming.
Yeah, you know. I think they were doing it because they were doing it for the laughs, and I was doing it because I really needed to stay out of jail. You know, I had to stay alive. Although it would have been better if I'd have gotten busted. It would have been three squares a day if you'll plug the expression, three squares.
I don't mean to Dr. Phil you, but
go ahead.
Did this have anything to do with the characters later?
Yeah, it must have, I guess. I don't know, but...
I want to hold you and I want to fuck you. I think that's going to happen.
Well,
at the happy
I think
after party. I do. Well, I do.
Think a
Sean.
Professional relationship is probably best.
Oh, I do too, Phil. I do too.
No, you know, I think I got embarrassed for a while because I was expressing myself through all of these voices. I think, isn't there an authentic voice here? Can't I just talk? Like, even now I'm talking to you and I'm messing with my shirt and I can't look you in the eye and I'm looking. And I think I'm autistic.
That's because your eyes match your shirt so beautifully.
Well, I think it's Asperger's.
And I think there's some sexual tension going on. Or Asperger's. Yeah. I can't ever tell. What's my judgment like?
Do you think
it's probably Asperger's.
If you were autistic, would you know it? You know?
That's the question.
No. I mean, I don't think I would. And I'm wondering if
don't
that's
get sweaty.
Truth.
I'm not going to fuck you for like an hour or so. Just relax. We got friends coming. We got pizza coming. Just calm down, Phil.
More of those big dogs too, Phil. In case you think you're leaving.
Sorry. So wait, let me tell me what your demo tape was like. Your first DJ job in Winter Park.
Oh my
in
God,
Orlando.
It was terrible.
Okay. What was your, what would?
My first demo tape was literally, I rewrote some commercials that I saw in a newspaper. I saw ads for like furniture. Yes, go down to Bixley's Furniture at 4949 Orange Blossom Trail at Orlando. And probably had the stuffed up nose thing that you do.
Right.
And, yes. Bixley's Furniture at Orlando. Central Florida weather, partly cloudy. And that's how I got my first gig. Some guy went, you know, well, you're the best thing that came to the door today. You're hired. And I got my gig wearing sandals, I think, and jeans, because I thought, hey, fuck it. And I'm digging the fact that this is a gig where you don't have to dress up. So I decided to test the theory. So I came in sandals and jeans and, like, paint on my shirt. I got the job, you know. But, it was all, that was it. That was my first one. And then, I don't know, for years and years, I just kept churning through that bullshit. And finally,
we did the same shit. Like, I did music radio and, you know Rochester and Buffalo and Chicago and New York and, you know, good morning, everybody. Hot 97. But I'm 7 in the morning. Everybody, Boys to Men, it's coming up.
WNOE FM in New Orleans. I was on New Orleans.
Were you?
Yeah, in the quarter, in the French quarter. And the guy that was on before me used to open the window and piss into the alley two voice down. And I go, Jesus H. Christ.
Jesus
the
fuck,
I thought this was
man.
A big market
Jesus
station.
Fuck.
Well, it is, Phil, but the can is like upstairs. I'm not going up there. Shit. So he'd open the window, pee, and don't tell anybody. No, okay. And then, so that was New Orleans. And then I moved on to Miami, where I almost got shot or something.
It's like
happened.
Radio, it's like being in the fucking witness protection program. It's like you're just fucking running from the law.
Yeah.
Like Randy and I were both rock jocks.
Sure.
It was like, you know. It's like Sister Sleaze, Brother Weeze, Motor Circus, everybody. Like, it's just a fucking weird life.
I got to collect everybody that I know in the business has got real talent, and we have to either do a movie or a gigantic radio
station.
Behind
the radio.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I need is about, I figure I could get it done for about $5
million.
Nobody gets paid.
Sure.
But,
sure.
Back in.
So either that or a big stage play or something, but there is a lot of talent, and there are a lot of people that are very talented I work with.
Yeah.
And it's like, where are they now, exactly?
Well, I mean, this is what happened, you know, when Randy, like, the whole Air America thing. Like, the people that are fucking radio people that know how to do radio are the only people that survived. Me and Randy, like, you know, the people that fucking do radio.
Yeah.
Because they think any chimp can do it, and, you know, maybe some chimps can, but.
Sure. I mean, I can. you know, Randy got, I'll never forget, somebody ran a PSA on Air America with the clicking of a gun after a George Bush commercial or something. And Randy got in trouble for this. Well, she's the last person that would ever knowingly do that, because that's technically a threat to the president.
Right.
It was somebody at Air America that did it and put it on her show.
Right.
And she had to take the heat for this thing. So listening to Mark, speaking of Mark Maron, listening to him and Jim Ladd talking about Air America having lunch one day was one of the greatest things I ever heard in my life.
They no, just went back Mark and I have, that. I mean, he was just here. We have a little bit of the same history where we didn't know each other. You know, Air America was a disaster. I came on, started taking a lot of his stations, so he started talking a lot of shit about me on the radio.
Oh, no.
And so I'm like crying, driving into work. And so, anyway, but he was so great. He was like, I'm sorry, I was a dick to you. And I was like,
well, I'm sorry I was a dick to you. I didn't know. I think they told me to be a dick to you. Somebody said, go ahead, be a, you know, you can
Tom Lankus used to be a dick to me, and I don't even fucking know Tom Lankus. Why are you a dick to me?
He's a dick to everybody, you know. He just ripped everybody, you know. But I got him back.
He's talked shit about me on the
radio. Well, I got him back. I started doing this thing called Comb Over Boy. That dub.
I'm Tom Lankus.
Tom never got out of them.
Everybody does Tom Lankus.
Bad dub.
I don't know why I ever got it out of my 80s DJ voice, everybody.
You know, Mark was on Air America, and you weren't. You were doing a morning show.
No, well, I was never Air America. I was right. I was Jones Radio Network. Anyway, we competed, actually.
That's
and so
right.
I took his time slots. He's like, I didn't know. I was losing all my time slots. And so I started talking shit about you. And anyway, but so we just had amazing makeup sex, didn't we? Right on the Happy Hour podcast.
Right. Yeah. On this very table.
Yeah, no, because he's amazingly talented.
He is, man.
And, you know, but some people, like a lot of the people Air America hired, they're amazingly talented. They'd never done radio. Never been in the radio business, and so...
Well, let's see. Well, Al Franken and Janine Garofalo and...
And Rachel Maddow. I mean, they were doing it to get to something else, which they're all brilliant at. But
I think Rachel is the closest one to the non-professionals that was professional-sounding, you know?
Right.
What I'm saying is, like, you and Randy were pros, but Rachel actually sounds like she had some chops. I don't know exactly
she's fantastic.
What they were, but...
Right.
She's good at building garages, I know, and she also worked on my car.
I'm not that kind of lesbian, but I
I
can't help you with either of those.
But then Mark started his podcast, and here is where the podcasting world came into its own. The president of the United States comes into your garage.
He's brilliant.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think radio just lost that one. Round 15, TKO, that's it, goodbye.
Yeah. No, I told him when he was here. I think he's, you know, one of the best interviewers, maybe better than Stern.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, and, you know, so you're right. Like, it is sort of amazing how we've all kind of found our niche, whether it's you or me or Maren or Randy Rhodes or whatever. Like, you're right. Like, hopefully.
But, you know, I don't want to stop until I reach the promised land, you know.
Like Weekend at Phil's? Like
yeah, I don't know what I'm looking for,
like,
man.
Tupac, like, there's a hologram, you're dead.
Yes,
and
something like that,
Phil Henry Stadium Tour.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever really going to be satisfied until I just keep pushing through to something else. But, you know, with Mark, he did that TV show for 4 years and then said, okay, I'm done with that. That's pretty, that's a lot of discipline there just to say, you know, okay, the show that's making me all this great bank, I'm going to stop doing.
Right.
There's nothing more to say. And, of course, what did TV do? They said, Maren canceled.
Right.
She got so
fucking
pissed that I don't blame him.
I don't blame him. Because, yeah, you're right, because it was his choice. And
His choice. And like I said, that's some pretty heavy discipline. But that show he did when the president came into his garage. You been to Mark's house?
I have not.
Okay, it's a little narrow street up there in Eagle Rock. It's like, you know, there's a cat next door going, I'm putting a new roof on, huh? If I make too much noise, and we're in his garage.
Is it okay if we put a sniper up there?
Not a problem, okay. Yeah, how did the Secret Service deal with this? It's insane. The fact that he got Obama on the show, to me, I was so proud of that moment as a quote, podcaster, because I said, that's the moment of maturation. That's the moment where the radio is like in the dust.
Right.
And,
right.
And plus, his house and the one that he represents on TV, two completely different places. And I'm kidding. But the one, the TV one, slightly nicer house. he's great.
Yeah.
You know, all those cats.
We all have sort of this interconnectedness, you know, being in this business at one point or another or trying to reinvent ourselves in some way. And, you know... You're just a fucking genius, Phil Hendry.
No.
And you've done television, you've done film, you've done, and as you just said, like, you still want to keep reinventing yourself.
Oh yeah,
so
I
you're
have
doing
to.
Your online show. You're doing.
You know why? Because I want to put a rooftop deck on my house. That's all I want. I said deck, D-E-C-K.
You materialistic motherfucker.
That's all
Phil
I want.
You have shattered my image of you.
I'm not going to spend the money to move right to the sand. I'm going to stay about a block away and put a deck on the top. Adds $100,000 to the resale.
Oh, wait, tell me your whole. Do you have kids? Yeah, I don't know your whole.
No, I had four stepkids.
Okay.
And
with
I guess
Maria.
I still do with Maria.
Okay.
No children because it would have been a disaster, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I was married just once.
Yeah,
you know. And
you were married once before Maria.
Just one time.
Oh, no,
Maria
just,
was
oh,
it.
To Maria. Okay.
Maria was it.
Yeah.
And now. You know, I have a woman in my life, Lauren, who actually she makes me laugh.
How long?
I've been with her 3 years.
Oh,
the first woman I've ever been with that made me laugh. And I think that I remember thinking, wow, I don't think I've ever really gotten anything out of a relationship until now. This woman's making me laugh. She entertains me. She's fun. And
making Phil Hendry laugh. She's got to be the shit, man.
It really doesn't take much, you know. Just make a little bit of an effort, you know.
Like this? A little fart noise?
That would be great. Every morning, hit that button.
I would do that for you.
You could
just
do that
if you want
for
to
real,
rethink things. I'm just saying. Oh, for real? Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Got Jothan? Fantastic.
But I, you know, that's that. And I have a cat named Thunder, who just kind of rolls around on the floor and stares at me.
Yeah.
And she stays downstairs while I'm doing the show.
And you
I'm
live
done.
Up north somewhere.
I live up in a place called Channel Islands Beach, which is the fancy part of Oxnard. And I, yeah, that's it, exactly.
Sounds nice.
It's actually is pretty nice. I'm about a block from the sand, but that's why I want to put the deck up there, because, like I said, that's 800 grand to get to the sand.
Right.
Forget it. Not going to happen. So I put the deck up there, and I can see it, and there's guys on the beach going, hey, I can see you. And I got a wet bar up there and a hot tub. That's 150K on the resale.
There you go.
And I'm gone.
You know, his whole artistic genius shit, Sean, is just blown for me. It really is all about a fucking, it's just blown up for me.
Yep.
It's a fucking, it's about a goddamn deck. Phil Hendry. Yeah. Phil Hendry, radio legend, hero of mine, fucking digital god, trailblazer. It's about a fucking deck, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Fucking craven bastard.
With a hot tub and a wet bar and,
All right. You
know, and a hammock. And there you go.
I was gonna have a wet bar for you until you said that. What did I mean by that, Sean? What did I mean by that? I'm being such a whore with Phil Hendry.
It sounds awesome, a wet bar. Man, I got a wet bar for you.
I got a wet bar for you, Phil Hendry. What's your favorite film or TV thing you've ever done? Because you've done a lot of shit. You've worked with Trey Parker, Matt Stone. You did Team America.
It would probably be Team America,
yeah.
You know, for the voiceover stuff. And I'd say the on-camera, where I got to be myself the most, is probably the scene I just did in the Whitney Cummings movie. No, actually was. Whitney was directed that, and she's a comic, so
yeah.
Cool. She actually, you know, let me ad-lib.
Yeah.
And so what would have been about four or five lines, I, like, took up the whole damn scene with a whole big long thing. I'd say that the favorite thing I've done recently out of everything was three or four episodes of 7D, the Seven Dwarfs on the Disney Junior Channel.
Yeah.
They let me ad-lib the entire series of characters I did.
Yeah.
I did the Enchanted Forest Ranger. I did another. Ah! Yeah, I did this Waffle House owner, and I got to ad-lib the part all the way through, and it was the best time I ever had in my life. And I'm probably prouder of that than anything.
Wow. You know,
says
a lot.
That they would let me do that.
Right.
And I was able to keep it really PG, not even PG. I kept it G. I mean, it's for like 9-year-old kids, and that was a blast, man. If I could do more of that,
yeah.
You know?
Wow, you're probably going to do a lot more of everything.
I hope so, but I'd like to do this, what you're doing, and I don't mean this show. I'd like to own this house.
Well, you certainly can.
No,
oh, I see. Okay,
I'd like to
do
this.
Because there's
house.
Decks. There's already decks on this house. Yeah, and I will you on one of these decks if you really want, Phil.
Well, I mean,
why not? Because your girlfriend's not here.
She's not.
You didn't bring her. I don't know why.
She's from Oklahoma.
Oh,
that's not such a good thing. You don't want to get an Okie sicked on you. That's bad news. Lauren, honey, she's from Ardmore. And that's just halfway between Dallas and nowhere, man. It's like, I said, where is that? Look at this. There's a lady here.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. We got, it's just a mysterious lady. Doesn't she look like the lady that shot the guy, that shot Robert Redford?
She looks like she's ready to shoot somebody.
No, she's not going to shoot you. Oh, she's my good friend, Trish. They're coming
for
the after party. They're coming to worship you, like
so
everyone
every night
is.
You do this, and then you guys sit down and have wine. This is the life.
This podcast is once a week.
Yeah, this is once a week, and we do a little after party. We're going to get you naked.
No, I'm
going to get naked and
you
know, we're going to throw ice. We're going to lay in a pile.
I try to drink.
You would like tequila. Let's get this shit going on, Henry.
I would love to drink while I'm working. I can't. It comes out shit.
Really?
It comes out shit as it is. But, you know.
No, this is fantastic.
One of the things I love, and this is, you asked me what my passions are in life. One of them is, and I'm serious, I have a bottle of tequila that I put about a half a dozen jalapeno peppers in, and I cure it for like 30 days, man. That's the best
I got some shit going on upstairs. You won't believe.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I love that shit.
So, Henry, what the fuck are your politics? I don't really fucking know. What do you think about the Trump thing? Because he did steal this shit from you.
I think he's a fascist. He is Mussolini. And I'd like to say, I think I indicated that he was Mussolini before I heard anybody else say it.
Yes,
because I saw him do the whole
thing, the jutty jaw. Yeah.
I am an Obama guy, with one exception.
Okay.
I do wish that war in the Middle East had been pressed to a ultimate conclusion of victory, but it wasn't, and I'm not hanging him up for that.
Mm.
I am very proud of this president, and I'm going to support. I think Hillary Clinton's doing everything she can to fuck this election up, and I mean that. I said, well, look at, man, this DNC bullshit, this stuff with the email, somebody get control of this. She's given that guy material.
Okay, did you just say that Donald Trump is fucking Mussolini? Are you fucking kidding me?
He is. And these assholes are going to vote for this guy if he keeps pushing this email stuff. I don't know what, I'm sure
what
it's all cool.
Who the fuck cares about her email? Really? She's the wrong server?
I don't. I'm saying he's got material with that stuff, and I just wish that stuff would stop already, you know? I don't know what it is.
I'm going to have hate sex with him. I'm going to
not saying I hate Hillary Clinton. I am voting for her, and I actually admire her, and I get it. It's like 30 years of shitting all over the Clintons, but these clowns, you know, who are,
I would call men bitches every single day. You know why that's going to happen, Mitch McConnell? Because I'm POTUS, bitch.
The best thing that's happened in the last few days.
Fucking POTUS, bitch.
These guys that came on board and said, let him be himself. I think that's fantastic.
It's fantastic. They're going to turn up to 11 now.
It's like a guy that's a guy filling a gas can with a lit cigarette. Yeah, go right ahead, Donald. You do whatever you need to do there, man.
It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. Just, you know what? You haven't been enough of a racist, fucking, motherfucking, sexist douchebag. Here's what you need to do. Yeah. Nope, too much subtlety. Yeah. That's your problem.
That's your problem, man.
He's every character Phil Hendry has ever done. He's every asshole.
It's amazing how the Republican Party doesn't realize what's happened to them. You guys have devolved to the point where you've just nominated someone you hate. Now, what is that about? Yeah. You know, what does that
mean?
They're
having hate sex with themselves.
Yeah, you know, this is exactly where we want to be. He's our nominee. Okay. I mean, isn't there some stopgap that you can put in place if Hitler gets in or if someone like
they are, they're masturbating Charles themselves Manson. Going, who's a I'm fucking sorry, whore? Who's a fucking dirty French whore? Right, right, oh, I right, am. Wait, right. What? Yeah. What's happening? Why am I being
this
mean
was
to
the
my...
democratic process. All right. So I think that that's happened. And like this time next year, there won't be a Republican Party as we currently know it.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. It'll be gone.
It'll be gone. And I think he'll lose. I don't know by how much. It's going to be nerve-wracking. I'm probably going to get really wasted.
Yeah. Come over here for tequila. Okay. We'll have
thank you. Because when Clinton got elected, Mike Malloy, you know Mike?
He's my other baby.
He's the man.
Yeah.
Michael said to me, it was the night that Clinton got elected. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I got to get drunk somewhere. He says, I know the place. He took me to a bar in Atlanta. At the end of the bar is this gigantic picture of FDR. He goes, this is the place right here.
So we do this shit.
So I spent the whole night watching the returns coming in on that one.
No, you're coming here. You're coming here with me.
All right, fine. All right. Can I bring my cat? I better not.
Yeah, no. Bring your pussy. Whatever. Bring your pussy. And your girlfriend, too. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
Buzzkill. I love you, Phil Hendry. How do we get your brilliant fucking podcast?
Oh, go to philhendryshow.com or podcast one.
Yeah.
And go there and push the button that says, please, how do I give him money?
Yes.
And then do
that. He needs a fucking deck, people. Yeah, let's do this.
Pay for Phil's rooftop deck here.
Yes.
And then go and do and love and enjoy. Yeah,
please.
And
Phil Hendry.
Thank you.
Fucking
and watch F is for Family on Netflix.
Yes, please.
And some of the other things that are 7D, maybe they'll bring it back, which they won't, I know, because they said that'll kill it right there. Would you do Phil Hendry? That's we're done now. You had a shot till you put him on.
I love you, you big political fucking radio nerd. geek.
I don't know anything about politics. Radio my father and mother geek. Were Goldwater Miller voters.
There you
go. No, excuse me. My dad was Goldwater. My mother was... I'm a Rockefeller Republican.
Yes. Well, so was my dad, but it's a whole thing. Anyway.
So was your dad. He had to take the job from Barry. Thing.
No, Mike Pence is the Bill Miller of, you know, he was like, oh.
He was the reasonable
What Barry
addition.
Meant to say was, Jesus fucking Christ, really? What the fuck happened now? Hendry.
Bless his heart.
I am going to hate fuck you all night long.
All right.
I love you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie, for having me here, man. This is
thank you for being had.
And if you're for real about election night, we'll be here.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Listen, we're already in my basement. Let's get the ball gag. Let's go. Let's get this going on. I've been waiting for Hendry for years. I love you, Phil Hendry.
Thank you.
Happy
Bye.
Fucking happy hour.